SalesApe, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. SalesApe will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors. SalesApe is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers, and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's salesape.ai/podcast for a free demo.
I want to ask someone really quickly, and you can't answer this if you work at the company or if you've worked at the company. What is the number one company in the world right now? Nobody knows? Okay, good. So that being said, it took y'all a minute. I was a little worried. I was like, hold up. Y'all don't know what the number one company in the world is? All right, cool. So Microsoft. So Horace, you are a director of enterprise sales at the number one company in the world, not just the number one tech company, the number one company in the world. Now, that's an extremely high level position because you're not just an enterprise sales rep. You're a director of enterprise sales reps. Now, many of the people in your network, they are making millions of dollars a year. Can you break down how networking at this level provides access to career security, 6- and 7-figure opportunities, and elite job placements?
Absolutely. First, thanks everybody for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I see a lot of Microsoft people here too. But yeah, I always like to be very candid and clear about making millions of dollars, right? Like, if you think about somebody who makes $400,000, $500,000 a year for 4 years, that's $2.5 million potentially, right? So talking about that 1 year, $1 million, it is definitely possible. It's cherry picking. Joseph knows what I'm talking about. You got to find the right, you know, accounts, right opportunities. So I always like to be very clear about that. I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, everybody I know makes $1 million. But no, it is very possible. And the reason networking is so important, because that's how I got here. I think that's how Joseph right here, who's one of my Georgia Tech Microsoft guys, who's now at SAP, so, but he came through the networking. And networking is just essential, because as much as I love AI, and I'm going to call Ashley out on this, I want some backup. How many people have used ChatGPT for their resume? Put your hands up higher. So why is it different now? Why is it different? If everybody's doing it, it's no longer different. You see what I'm saying? So that's where the networking part comes in, right? Think about what I'm saying. Because where is she? Stand up for a second, Memphis. We just went over that resume, right? Shout out to you. I'm going to give you 30 minutes free just because we need to talk, right? She came up and talked to me. We went over her resume and she told me, she's like, yeah, AI did the top part. And I was like, that part is great. But if everybody's doing it, you don't stand out anymore. You see what I'm saying? So that's why we talk about the networking, and it's who you know and how you know them, right? He knows the story. A couple of you know the story. Joseph will tell you a story where when I was coming from Georgia Tech into Microsoft, it was a struggle to find as many people as I could to talk to me, to converse with me about Microsoft. I'm asking for 30 minutes. Some people gave an hour, right? This is 11 years ago. It's a very different time now. People way more busy. You know, we got kind of like the remote stuff. And I would literally be at a party at, you know, like the family house party or something, right? And if somebody's calling me to talk to me, I remember one time I went, sat in the car in the garage with a notepad, because somebody from Microsoft was willing to talk to me through the interview process, right? When I was going through the interview process. And if you've heard the story, you know how I do it. When I got to my first interview at Georgia Tech, the guy said to me, he's like, you know more about Microsoft than people I work with. So that's important, because what that shows is that I did the work. Like, doing the work is the most important part, right? People think like, oh, it's like a microwave, right? Oh, well, you work at Microsoft, you got a job, can I get that job? No. You know what I mean? That's not how I did it, right? I had to pay $64,000 and then sit in cars and garages and take a dude to the Ritz-Carlton driveway to have a conversation, because that sounded weird. but, you know.
Hey, yo!
The point is that those were the things, because, and I want to point that out for a reason, right? Because I stood up here in the corner. Who saw me standing over here in the corner? How many people saw me standing in the corner? How many people came and talked to me? But she came and talked to me. I already know you. Get out. But my point is, what stopped you from talking to me? Am I unapproachable? Do I seem like a mean person? You've talked to me before, right? Like, who said yeah? That's not true. So the point is that you have to want this, right? And networking, if I'm standing here, I'm that dude right there, right? One name, just one name. And I'm standing in the corner just talking. You were listening. You was listening. I saw you, right? I was standing there talking to everybody that walked up. Is that not fair? My point is, it's on you to do this. Because the other way, Roy, right, Roy? Yeah, you came up and talked. The other way means that I am supposed to come into the crowd and find you to give you a job making $200,000. Ain't gonna happen, right? So you have to be willing to do the work, right? The people who are here, I saw like we had mid-level managers and people in tech. Can any of you say that it was easy to do? Say it again? Hell no, right? So that's my, I want to like, watch the interview with Joseph. He's right here, the guy at SAP. He will tell you, how long did I ignore you before we talked? And he went to Georgia Tech. But when we finally talked, it was a layup drill, right? Because that's the power of the network. Like, and that's what I try and tell people. If it was easy, all be doing it. But then it wouldn't have any value. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting deep here, but think about what I'm saying. Right? It takes work to get it. Was it easy? Right? So the networking piece is actually the easiest part. I was standing right there. You come talk to me. I fixed her resume. Did I not fix the resume? She brought her resumes and it was like 2 pages. I was like, there's no way I would look at this. The top part's good. Put some line. Ahmad's been in class with me. He knows what it's like. You have to understand this is not easy. But the easiest part, you didn't want to do it. All you had to do is come talk to me. Right? So what I'm saying, and I'm talking to a guy that I said earlier, I said, what, 3 jobs? I was like, oh, I know somebody in here that's hiring for 3 jobs. I talked to like 4 people, right? And they all getting jobs. But my point is that it could have been easy. They don't even require background checks. There was another guy that drove from Alabama. Where you at, bro? There he is, in the hat. Was it hard to talk to me? Was I helpful? So if you're not willing to do the easiest part, maybe this isn't for you. And that hurts to hear that. Because when you're talking to the CIO of a company, you're talking to the CEO, the chief information security officer of Marriott would call me at 9:30 at night if there was a problem, right? Or I'm going to ignore his call. You got to be willing to do it. If you're not willing to do it, and I know I'm taking a real long time to answer a networking question, but it's the easiest part. And if you're not willing to do the easiest part, what are we talking about? And I don't mean talk to me after this, but no.
So a lot of complaints that I hear when it comes to tech events is that oftentimes they are very expensive. Many times they cost hundreds of dollars. The other issue with tech events is that many times they're incredibly infrequent. So many people have to oftentimes keep a calendar or a schedule to try to remember when each tech event is happening and where in the US it's going to be happening at. So it could be very time consuming. The other issue is that people oftentimes talk about how when they go to these events, no one's hiring. There's no recruiters there. There's no one there that is actively trying to assist them when it comes to answering their questions, providing them support. And then also there aren't many founders at these events as well. Well, recently we just launched Grown in Techie, which is our recurring tech networking event that is full of recruiters, hiring leaders, and founders with networking, education, and more. Essentially, we have taken our podcast and put it in front of a live audience. Now, our previous Grown in Techie event that just took place a few weeks ago sold out about a week before the event happened. This upcoming one that we have is about to sell out as well. And obviously, this is along the lines of how it's happened for our previous events in the past that we've done, where all of our other tech events have sold out also. Yo, so if you have been looking for a recurring tech event that's happening every single month that has recruiters, hiring managers, founders, also is something that is very affordable, not extremely expensive like conferences tend to be, is frequent, and has actual people there that you want to collaborate with, watch this video and make sure that you click the link to get your tickets to our next Grown in Techie event.
Look, y'all, this is the very first Grown in Techie. Though, shouts out to y'all. Give a round of applause for yourselves for investing in yourselves, investing in your time for being here.
Outside of just getting a job, there's a lot of business opportunities as well to make money on the side. And that's something that Cyrus talks about too, about scaling tech and job stacking or potentially getting a side business.
The best possible role that you guys can get into for tech is going to be tech sales. We're talking about an over 60% growth rate year over year. It's only getting higher.
Ever since I first started my career in tech, I felt like it got to a point that when I started looking for other jobs, based off of my LinkedIn alone, people were trying to find me. I think it's so important that people start to use every single tool that is on LinkedIn instead of just updating your bio and saying, hey, you know, I'm a sales development representative and my name is Taylor. There's more to it than that. You have to really pour into your social media and your LinkedIn.
You have to want this. It's on you to do this. Because the other way means that I am supposed to come into the crowd and find you to give you a job making $200,000. Ain't gonna happen. So you have to be willing to do the work.
Now, you know, so this actually takes me to a question. This isn't even in my notes of questions, but this kind of brings up another thing. We talked about this offline. So for those of y'all, I want to kind of paint a little bit of a better picture. So obviously, Horace is a director of enterprise sales, but essentially what that means, he's a hiring manager. So he sits in a position where he's a part of the decision-making of people coming and being a part of his team. So recruiters and, you know, maybe talent sourcers and other people that are, you know, interviewing you, he's looped in with that as a part of the final decision to say, yeah, I want this person a part of my team. Or no, I'm not really sure about them. I want this other person instead. One of the things, because we've had like a lot of private conversations. His episode on the podcast was one of our top episodes on the podcast. And since then, we've been getting to know each other a lot better. Horace is actually the creator and instructor over the tech sales training within our boot camp. And he's also the one that introduced the portion that we have where we have offering job placement assistance for those who qualify with different various tech companies. So I want to make sure, because I'm like, you know, I realize I'm listening to you. I'm like, I don't really think that we did a good job of letting people understand like where he's speaking from. And one of the private conversations we've had out of all the people he's helped get in tech, and I could be saying this wrong, we've had a lot of conversations, but if I'm saying it wrong, like correct me and expound on it. He shared how the majority of people that he's been able to help get in tech don't even look like us. And can you speak to that and speak to the why behind that and how, again, this is an opportunity. It's a learning lesson opportunity for a lot of us.
All right, I want the soft truth or you want the hard truth? All right. So the hard truth is, I'll give some of it where it was my surroundings, right? Like some of it was because I'm very big into the Georgia Tech Network stuff. It's Morehouse too. My daughter's at Spelman now, so I'm big into the schools. I actually, last month, I'm back on the board of directors for National Black MBA for student affairs. So I'm like super immersed in the schools, right? So let me start with that. But most of the people that I've helped get in, not exaggerating, probably 90% of them, and it's in the 40 to 50 people range. Actually, I was supposed to, I never posted it, but I just got a guy, he just got an offer last week on Thursday, like last week. And so the reason is because they are persistent. They know what is on the other side, and they're not trying to be cool. They're not going to let me stand there by myself. Joseph, tell them. We go to a Georgia Tech event. What is it like?
So for the camera and the audio, he said that it's Microsoft and other companies. And he said it's like a two-hour line. That's a two-hour line, I'm assuming, of people that are looking to speak with you?
Yeah, because, look, I'm taking full credit for this. At the career fair, and he's seen it firsthand. Some of you, if you've been to Black MBA, anybody ever been to a National Black MBA career fair? Been to one. Remember, before I was there, it used to be people in line for finance. People in line for marketing was crazy. For some, I don't know why people want to do marketing so much.
The shade towards marketing.
It's not shade. It's just more like, I always thought in my mind, because Eddie Murphy from Boomerang said he did it. So I was just like, all right, that's why people want to do marketing. I don't know. But like, the marketing line would be crazy. Operations would be okay. And I'd be standing there by myself. And what I started telling people, I'm like, you standing in these other lines and we make all the money. Last couple years, that boy wrapped around the building, right? And I don't know how the word's getting out, but the word's getting out.
Texas Blue Black. Texas Blue Black.
There you go. But like, that's what I'm saying. People, the other people are persistent, right? It's a harsh truth. You know what I mean? Like, I stood there for a reason. Because I remember, and I've given this analogy in interviews. When I went to Poor Calvin's, it was 2014, I went to Poor Calvin's. After Black MBA Career Fair, Microsoft bought the whole building. They bought the whole restaurant. So anybody who got invited, whatever you wanted, drinks, food, whatever, right?
And I remember the guy I was trying to talk to was in the corner. And the analogy I give is I grew up in Chicago, and they used to do this aerial photo of Michael Jordan when he would have interviews after the game. And it'd be like a semicircle of reporters around him, because he's Michael Jordan, right? That's how it was, and that's why I couldn't get to him, because he was in the corner of the restaurant. So me thinking on my feet and being persistent, and I didn't even know how great the opportunity was at that point, that's when I saw him outside and was like, hey, man, you need a ride? And he's like, yeah. So I took him back, you know, I drove him back to the hotel. Sounds awful. But yeah, so, and he talked to me for like an hour and a half.
Let me give us a backdrop. This is Uber and Lyft wasn't super popping at the time, and the guy was waiting on one. It was still relatively new, so the guy was waiting with him. And I know the story because I've heard him share the story a few times. I was like, let me clear it up. No shade to anybody, you know, your own, who you date and what you do, but, you know, just clearing it up for him.
It was just a conversation. But it was a conversation that changed my life. That dude, I'll never forget it. He was like, my goal when I went to grad school, same thing we be talking about now. Like you said, six figures ain't it no more. I wanted to make $100,000. That's all I cared about. I was making 40 when I went to school. I had to go to school and work at the same time. I wasn't a full-time student. And I was like, $100,000, that's all I want to make. And I remember my career services dude, he was like, hey man, you know, they got jobs, you can make $90,000 and commission. I was like, wait, what? Because I was coming from $40,000. Went and sat, talked to dude, he was like, my base salary, $125,000. My signing bonus was $45,000. I got $55,000 in stock. And then I got, at the time, and this is how you know I'm telling you the truth, because it was 67% was the guarantee of the base. They changed it to 82 on his payout. So 82% of $125,000. And I'm sitting there doing the math like, wait, you add those two together? And he was like, yeah. And he's like, it's just kind of like a guarantee. And I'm like, all right, I know what I'm gonna do. And my career advisor said to me, he's like, hey man, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I was like, I got one basket. That was it, right? And my numbers, I got 100, I got 50 in stock. Microsoft's stock price was $45 at the time. I got a $35,000 signing bonus with the 82% guarantee. So it was like 217 cash plus the stock. And all I wanted was 100,000, but then, you know, your faith, what you believe, or the universe, my base salary was exactly $100,000. My point is, you got to do the work, right? And we need to get to these slides, I know, so I'm going to start shortening up these answers.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I think it's one thing I want to highlight is how you saw the guy in the room and you saw a line of people talking, you realized you weren't going to be able to get to him, and you're like, no, I need to figure out a way creatively to talk to this guy. And I love how you mentioned how you knew it was a big opportunity, but you didn't realize how big of an opportunity it was. And I correlate with that so much because I say all the time, like, I was really desperate to get in the tech industry, and I was so tired of Lyft driving. And I knew, like, the thing that I was Lyft driving overnight, those that don't know my story. And I was Lyft driving 6 to 7 days a week. When I started doing the boot camp, I was Lyft driving just 7 days a week straight. And the thing that kept me going, literally what kept me awake, was my energy of me thinking like, oh, I'm being tech. I'm at like $120,000. Like, my head, that's all my thinking was. And that kept me going so much. But I say this all the time, that when I finished the boot camp that I did, I gave myself mentally a year. I said, I'm going to give it 1 year of me trying really hard to get in the industry before I give up, or before I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't for me. And I say this all the time.
SalesApe, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. SalesApe will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors. SalesApe is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers, and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's SalesApe.ai/podcast for a free demo.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
After I got in the industry, I was like, man, had I known what it was going to be, I would have said, no, I need to give this 10 years of my life. Like, I need to keep going and doing what I have to do to get in this space. And so that's something that I think I see all the time, people, and I get it because I was where people, for the most part, where people were at. And what breaks my heart, and this is a complete sidebar, we weren't supposed to talk about this, but what breaks my heart is when I see people online or in person, they're like, yeah, I did a boot camp, I did this thing, and they're like, ah, it didn't work out. And I'm like, it didn't work out? They're like, yeah, man, I tried for 6 months. Oh, it didn't work out, or you stopped trying? And it's like, can we have a real conversation? All right, I feel like we family, we have a real conversation. I don't know what college has done to us. Like, I'm like, whatever hex college has put on us, and again, I'm not anti-education. It's weird to me because I'm like, when people go to college, I know you went to college, I'm not talking bad about college, but when people go to college and they get a degree in something, it could be 6 years later, they don't have a job, and they're still like, yeah, I don't have a job yet in this thing, but that's what I went to college for, so I'm still trying and I'm hoping. It's this weird thing that people get an education, whether it's self-paced or they do a boot camp, where they're like, they try for a few months and they give up. And I'm like, you're giving up on on being successful? Not the job, not the company stop hiring. You just stop. And I see that and I'm like, I don't know what that is.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's a culture thing, right? Like, it's the social media. Like, people think it's instant. We call it microwave culture. Anybody know what my major in college was? Spanish.
He is fluent in Spanish, though.
I speak fluent Spanish. I had all of Latin America. I'm duolingoing, you know, Portuguese to get better at that. But Spanish. I've never done a job that's like, oh, a Spanish teacher, I guess is what people are supposed to do, right? Like, I've never done that, right? But to your point, it's this expectation. But here's the thing. You can use that to your advantage. The fact that people think stuff is just going to fall in their lap, this is a Kobe Bryant thing. If everybody just thinks it's going to fall in your lap, you just have to work a little bit. Make a little investment. $64,000 it cost me. It cost him more because he did the executive program. You ain't got to do that no more, right? You build through the network. You build through people you know. Like, we got a Microsoft recruiter in here. I'm not going to point him out because I don't want him to get bombarded. But if you know him, and we got programs where you can, that's how you change your life. Like, I had a whole thing where I was going to be like, hey, if your mom was in the hospital or your child was in the hospital, you need $5,000 in 3 days. Who can come up with $5,000 in 3 days? You can raise your hand or you cannot raise your hand. Either way, you're wrong, right? Because if you raise your hand and you're like, yeah, I can come up with five, right? Now, unless you're already in the tech company, let me give that one. That's cheating. But if you can come up with it, then what you waiting on? Right? Because if you don't make the investment, it's not because you don't believe in me, you don't believe in him, you don't believe in yourself. You think you're going to waste the money. I'm just doing the audience thing. I'm not looking at you and thinking of you. Right? But it's because you don't believe in yourself. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Like, you know. So the other part of that, though, again, is that with everybody thinking it's easy, you just got to work a little bit. You just got to do a little bit. You don't have to be Kobe anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you think about that. It's actually to your advantage that everybody expects it to be easy, right? So I want to get to this point. I know you got questions, but let me get to the point because I know we got these slides. So here's a question. How many people have applied to a technology company for some role and got denied? Damn. No. What if I'm telling you you didn't get denied, right? Okay. Hey, can we get them slides up? I'm getting real vulnerable with you. So I said, let me put myself in everybody's shoes. I think I'm pretty qualified for certain stuff, right? All right, here's one. They carefully reviewed my application and will contact me with my skills. Basically, no. All right, one more, next one.
New Relic. I don't even know what they do. I'm going to be real with you. What's this? Gong. Guy told me about the guy, the Salesforce guy. He was telling me it was a good company. They said no to me. I don't even know what this is. Next one. All right, so this one was a bit Grammarly, we know what that is.
Yeah.
Right? They told me no. All right, keep going. All right, so ServiceNow. So this one, hold on, because it's called New Logo Account. So what this role is, even though I have the position I have, the reason I would really like this role is because I talked to somebody there, and the quota is only like $300,000 to $400,000. Really? But here's the thing. The base salary range.
He said that's low. He said $300,000 to $400,000. But he's in tech, though. He can say that.
You know what my last quota was? $249 million. Start doing the multiplication on that. So if I had a $400,000 quota and I sell $1.2 million, I'm at 300%. I know for a fact from the recruiter, who you'll see later, that at ServiceNow, account execs at certain levels, because of the base, they get above 250%. They make $1 million. You see the trick now? I don't care about the title and the roles. It's great. I run all of Latin America. Yeah, it's great. I can't blow that quota out, though. This I can. But they told me no, too. All right, next. All right, so next one is ServiceNow again. Appreciate the effort you put in, your application, blah, blah, blah. Told me no. All right, next one. So all I'm saying is that I'm there with you, all right? So let's start to think about this. Am I not qualified for all this? Overqualified, possibly. So this is a ServiceNow, and I left the ServiceNow part. So when you get a referral, and Jill gave me the referral, it's right there. I have Jill do another referral for these roles. So I got a referral for this one, and look what he's saying. Great, these are location specific. So the Atlanta and Philly ones are gonna be the best. Please apply to ATL. I just sent your profile to the recruiter. That's way better, ain't it? All right, next one. SAP, his company, told me no. Look when I got this. Please do not contact this man. I got this at 2:14 this morning.
He literally hit me up earlier in the afternoon and sent it to me.
2:14 this morning I got this. And this guy, I intercepted your name as a referral for this role, blah, 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 apply. In case you want to have Joseph Perry name attached your application, and then he sent to me, Joseph's right there. So what does this tell you? Networking is a very simple way to say it, you're right. But what happens is I've hired probably 7 or 8 roles, right? The way it works is this. I post something, last job I posted, 5 days is the minimum, right? I did the minimum, 5 days. I got 485 applications. You think I looked at all of them? Somebody did. Just for legal purposes, somebody did. But you get paired with a recruiter. The first people they're going to present to me, anybody know? No. Internal employees. All right? So internal employees are first. Look through them. I picked one. And I told her not to even apply for it because I think she needed to go to a different job. But I still took her, interviewed her. The next group is referrals. I interviewed 3 of them. All right? Ends awfully. The bottom 436 people, I'll just tell you how I did. I would sort by the company because I'm like, all right, if they work at a Google or Accenture or somebody who knows what we do, right? I want to make sure it's easy to onboard them. I don't feel like training somebody from the ground up. I had a very new team already. So I would sort. I maybe got through 20, 30 people and I had one. 400 people, let's call it. Probably didn't get seen by me, but they did get seen, right? Say it again.
Less than 10%.
Less than 10%, right? And the worst part is that the person they ended up hiring was not one of the 5. It was an internal employee who needed to get moved from a different location that I didn't even want. So when I talk about the roles that I offer, because a lot of people who want to do tech, right, you want to come in, right, entry level. I think I'm good with the slides. Appreciate you, bro. When, you know, people want to come into an organization and kind of come into tech from the outside, again, if you're all using AI for your resume now, it's all the same, so nothing's going to stand out, right? And then when you think about this way, like you got to be strategic. Think about what I'm saying. How much internal competition exists in entry-level and early in career roles? Why not? Because they're already in the company. So if we can mathematically game the system to where we reduce your internal competition, now you're at the top with the employee referral. Anybody seen my Instagram lately where I look up the jobs In 90 seconds or less, how much do they pay? Say, ain't nobody looking. $160,000. I did like 8 of them, I think, at all different companies that we know people at.
So if you're listening to this right now, you fall into one of two categories. You either fall into the category of most people, whether you're trying to figure out what to do in tech exactly, whether it's something that the guest is talking about, or it's something that you've heard about from someone else. At the end of the day, you want to know what specifically you should be doing when it comes to working in the tech industry. Or you're person number two. You're a person who you already know what you want to do in tech. Maybe you've already done a boot camp or you've already went to college to get in the tech industry. And so you don't need a boot camp. You don't need education. You just need job placement assistance. So I have two things for each of you, no matter which category you fall in. So for the person number one, we actually have a tech career quiz. It has a variety of different roles attached to it, where all of the roles, based on the answers you provide, is going to give you an answer of something that is in very high demand in the tech industry, pays on average 6 figures, and also is something that is going to be here for a long time to stay. It's not something that's going to be disrupted by artificial intelligence. If anything, it's something that's growing more because of AI. So person number one, we have our tech career quiz. Now for the second person, where you've already done a boot camp, or you've already went to college, or you already have some type of education or experience where you don't think you need more, you just need job placement assistance. Well, we actually have that. We have our tech career accelerator with job placement assistance with recruiters and hiring leaders that currently work in the industry today. Now, with our job placement assistance, it does come with a very brief self-paced training that most people finish within a couple of days or a week maximum. But then immediately after that, you get to schedule and choose which tech company that you want job placement assistance for. You get set up on a meeting with a recruiter as well as with a hiring leader to get that job placement assistance with recurring training and support throughout the entire process. So again, either whichever category you fall in, click the link down below and you'll be able to see the two options that are there for you, so that way we can help you scale in tech.
No, that's good. No, so literally what we started doing is actually posting some of the jobs. We have a job board on our website now with different companies that are hiring for various roles, and it's even blown me away to see like the salary ranges. It's actually crazy.
It's crazy. Like, I'm literally starting from a Google page. I search sales. Obviously, I picked the company, so AWS, Amazon, IBM, Oracle, ServiceNow, Workday, all these different ones, like Microsoft, Google, AWS, you know, all those. And then I look for a sales role, because that's what we do. I look for early in career, which is 0 to 2 years of experience, typically. And what was the other thing I look for? Oh, well, like, you could look at remote and hybrid and all that stuff, but I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. So it's a company that you want, it's early in career, and it's for the money that I think $160,000 is pretty good to start, right? And just to prove to you I'm doing this seriously, every state won't show it to you. Georgia will not show you salary. Illinois will, from Chicago. California will, New York will. There's states who are required to show what the salary range is. So if you're looking for the salary range, just use a different state, right? Because that way at least you can know it. Like, you look up Georgia, it's not going to show you. So all I'm saying is, like, I'm telling you, just look at the videos. I literally did like 8 of them. And the point is that it doesn't have to be, you got to be like super technical. You do need to know some technology, right? You got to be working. You get some certifications, get all that stuff, right? Tech sales boot camp that I literally put together myself and taught for 13 weeks. I'm out to tell you about it. But you want to know things about, if your deficiency is sales and you have technology, I cover that, right? But if your deficiency is technology because you have sales, I cover that too, right? So you want to be a viable candidate, but again, I am not going to call you up and be like, hey, I got all these $200,000 jobs sitting around. Can you help me out? It's not gonna happen. So just do some work. And we just talked about it. Everybody thinks it's gonna be easy. All you gotta do is do a little bit of work. I'm standing right in the corner and you didn't even want to talk to me. It's quiet in here because it's getting real. But again, now's the time to change that. Now's the time to move forward from it.
All right, so look, got a few other questions to ask, but I'm going to hit this last one. And if we have time, I'll allow Whitney to tell me later if we have time. We'll take some questions from the audience. But a question I have in here is, so we've all been seeing the news about different layoffs that have happened with certain companies. And, you know, there was one news that came out, a report that came out where Salesforce, I believe it was like December 16th, where the CEO announced that they were laying off 1,000 employees. But then a couple weeks later, they announced that they were mass hiring for 1,000 other roles, which of course is tech sales. And then a week after that, he said, actually, we're wrong. We're actually hiring for 2,000 instead. And so when we look at the industry and people are looking to get into tech, I usually try to filter people towards things that are not just paying high, but also are in really high demand. But in your position, what would you say are some spaces that, and you can go whichever way is easier. So either what are some spaces in tech that you would say people probably, if they're just starting out, they probably shouldn't be trying to pursue? Because, so I'm saying you can go either way. So you can either say what they shouldn't pursue, or you could go the more hopeful route and say, hey, you know, these are some things you should pursue. So either what they shouldn't be trying to go after or what they should be trying to go after.
I'm actually going to take it a different way. I'm going to take it company specific.
Okay.
Right? And here's the reason. Microsoft and Google are the hardest companies probably in the world to get into, right? Because everybody want to work there. What you want to do is you look for those have kind of a better, and you can look this up, you know, anybody heard of Blind app, right? Blind will give you a lot of game on kind of the culture and what, you know, the offers are, stuff like that. But I would look at the companies that recruit the best, right? Salesforce is definitely up there. ServiceNow, as you could see, was up there. SAP is making a comeback. But you want to look at the companies that are recruiting the best, right? Now, from a technology perspective, I do think that there are roles that are harder to start in than to kind of be already established in. Hard to start in, probably need some certifications. It's going to be cybersecurity. They do not play about security. The customers don't play about it. The companies don't play about it, right? Because it costs millions and millions and millions of dollars if somebody does something wrong. Cloud, you definitely need some education because cloud is something that there's no way you can know all of it, right? AI, I mean, AI is still new. You can get up to speed quickly. It's only been out for like a year and some change, and depending on the company, maybe less than that, right? So AI is actually one I'm not going to say shy away from. You know, productivity is easy, right? Like that's easy. CRM is going to be integrating a lot of AI. You hear about agents. Everybody's heard about AI agents, right? Learn about that. Because that will be the wave. That's why Salesforce changed it from 1,000 to 2,000, because they truly believe it. They got the worst commercials I've ever seen. That McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, it's the worst. It makes no sense. I hate it. But agents will be the future, okay? So those are probably the main ones. Like, you know, we've talked in class about virtualization and identity. Those are very, like, niche type things. Easy to learn, but, you know, very specific. So that's what I would say, right? Like, cloud, you're going to need some skill set. AI, just do some learning, right? Security, you will need some sort of discipline or certification so that you can bring it to the table, if that makes sense.
Yo, that's good. Yeah, I agree with that list entirely. I love how you spoke about, because with cybersecurity, I wouldn't have listed that, but when you listed it and then when you explained how it is harder to get in, because it's like it's an industry, that's a space where it's in high demand, but still getting in. I literally was just talking to someone earlier and she was talking about getting into cybersecurity and I was like, yep. She was like, well, I have a degree. And I was like, you're still gonna need your security plus, your network, but you're still gonna need all those other pieces because like you said, it's like they do not play that. They do not play that about the industry in that space. So first off, can y'all please give a round of applause for Horace Mackey.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.